Blog Talk Radio.
When it comes to love, I do most anything. 'Cause if you have it in your heart, you know you're a rich man. There's just not enough to go around the world today. And if we have a little more, you know it'd be a better place. I can only go by what's happened to me, and now I that when it comes to love, you're gonna cry a little, hurt a little, feel a little pain in your heart, laugh a little, care a lot, take a look at what you got, 'cause you're only human, we make mistakes, we're gonna live to see another day, baby. Comes to love, I wanna have it all. Yeah.
you. That's Philip Perry, When It Comes to Love. That's a deep song. If you got a chance to listen to the lyrics, I play it, you know, it's my first song up every Saturday. So if you get a chance to listen to the lyrics, it's pretty heavy. Well, welcome everybody to Relationships Rant and Rave with Linus and Tina here on the Essence of Success Radio Network. And we are on Blog Talk Radio. Where are we with relationships today? Do we communicate more or less? Are we so busy we don't have me time anymore? And not merely your relationships with other people, but your relationships with everything, everywhere. Your relationships with life and all the elements of life. Your relationship with money, love, sex, and God. That's right, even God, the four cornerstones of the human experience. Your relationship with trees, plants, animals, birds, wind, air, sky, and sea. Your relationship with nature and your relationships with God. Your relationship with everything determines who and what we are. Every act is a self-definition. Call in and share your opinions or questions or experiences. It could be just the answer someone is looking for, okay? That phone number is area code 646-727-2914. That's 646-727-2914. I'm going to bring in my co-host, Miss Tina. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great, doing great. Well, I want to give a quick little background on relationships and sex, and then Tina and I are going to discuss the signs when you know that you're having bad sex. On the first half hour will be rant. Remember, the show is Rant and Rave, and then the rave will be the second half. We'll talk about the healthy relationships that you could be having with sex. Okay, the lights are low, a fire smolders in the fireplace, and two wine glasses sit half empty on the nightstand. Your clothes lie in a heap on the floor. You reach for each other. The two of you tumble to the bed and blah. No explosions of passion, no breathing proclamations of desire, no tumultuous climax. Then you wonder, how can everyone in movies and romance novels be having fiery, combustible sex when you and your partner barely create a spark? TV shows and movies give us this very skewed representation of what sex is supposed to be like. Everyone seems to be climaxing and having orgasms all the time, but from whatever they're doing. When you grow up on a diet of that, and when your real life doesn't match, you think there's something wrong with me or there's something wrong with my partner. Real life sex can almost never measure up to the passion portrayed on the screen. People don't talk about the fact that it's likely that in an odd position you'll pass gas, or the love of your life will take you in his arms and have bad breath. Sex in a whirl isn't perfect, and it doesn't always end with the earth-shattering climax. But it doesn't have to. Good sex doesn't necessarily have to be about an orgasm. It could just be an emotional, fulfilling experience between two partners. Getting what you want in bed, even when everything else in the relationship is working, sexual styles aren't always compatible. You like long foreplay sessions? Your partner's ready to go in an instant. You long for wet, sensual kisses? He prefers dry chase pecs. Sex is not just naturally perfect. There is the energy of new relationship that is positive, the excitement and the eagerness and the passion, and the negative is that you bump noses or knees because you just haven't learned how to dance yet. Okay? All right. Well, we're going to leave it there for right now, and we're going to go into, me and Tina are going to start discussing the 10 signs of really bad sex. Number one, you find yourself counting down the moments until it will end. Have you ever did that, Tina? You've been there for almost 10 minutes and you stop participating about halfway through. Now you start staring at the ceiling, listening to the clock tick in the background as you count down the moments until this amateur finally stops prodding you. Have you ever had that?
Yeah, recently. Not really. Yeah, that was really like my first time because My girlfriend is denied. My girlfriend put me in college to do the hand test. So that I've kind of eliminated that with the hand test. You test the hand later on. You don't have to sleep with them early, but you test with the hand to see what they're working with. We had a stand for this one guy. He was so smart. We was like, we should press charges on him for wasting our time. He knew his penis was real. He knew he was going to be trying to date. Like, you know. So I did have an experience like that recently, and I was in a relationship with someone for 11 years that was really well endowed. I mean, he should sell his pumps. I mean, he should be prepaid sex. He's just that good. But I did meet this guy, but I had a great mental connection with him, and he's big, like 6'1", muscles, and just sexy. And I did the hand test early on because we were kissing in the car, but he had got to me mentally. So in the car, I did the hand test, and I realized that it wasn't all that, but I've just been, you know, by myself for so long. And I was like, oh, you know, he's a really good guy, and I'm just really attracted to him mentally. So what we did after he talked me out of my drawers, probably like after 3 months, we did the do, and I almost broke his penis. And I think that he was out his league. He shouldn't have even. I mean, like, he didn't want no ambiance. He was just trying to get to, you know, me mentally. So he's like, let's look in each other's eyes and let's talk. I'm like, brother, I've been asking him for almost 2 years. Can you just break me off a little bit, and then we can talk about that? And, I mean, I almost acted like a savage. I was so embarrassed because he was like, it doesn't take all that. That's when you know you have a little penis if you say it doesn't take all that. This is supposed to be like a marathon, okay? That is little penis lingo.
Okay, well, let's talk about the one with the big one. When the sex feels uncomfortable, that it's painful. Maybe your significant other thinks they are a power tool and prefers to jackhammer you into your head, poor girl. Or maybe he don't realize that they're laying all of their weight on top of you and you're finding it hard to breathe. I've had that happen. It's not that they're causing you intentional pain. If that's the case, then it's not okay at all. You should not tolerate that for a second. It's more that your partner is completely unaware of your discomfort, and the fact that you're walking funny for the next 3 days doesn't quite register.
Speak for yourself. I don't think anything is wrong with that. So speak for yourself, because I can give you a little dick number right now.
Well, that's for the man that's endowed. That sometimes it can be painful. You know, if the woman isn't, her vagina isn't wide enough to accept it, it can become painful. But that's something the two of them should talk about, too. You don't feel anything at all. I've been there. The alternative to number two, the one that's endowed, maybe your partner thinks you're the world's most delicate flower and does not want to harm the porcelain creation that is your fragile frame. If that is the case, you should probably tell them what a load of crap that actually is. And in order to produce simulation, there needs to be some sensation. You're not going to break, and you may even lack a little rough action every now and then. That's for the, you know, bad sex, you don't feel nothing. Your partner is incredibly selfish. Check this out. This is the worst. In my humble opinion, based on past experiences, this is grounds for not seeing that person ever again. If your partner has their big moment, rolls over, falls asleep, and makes no move to help you finish, they should be taken proverbial sex prison and be put on sexual probation. There is nothing more terrible than a person who will worry about theirs and not at all about yours, especially when relationships are all about give and take. Chances are this person is pretty self-absorbed in other areas of life, and you absolutely do not need that. Do you agree?
Oh, I've never experienced that.
Okay. Well, the next one, you find yourself only thinking about other things when you're having sex. It's totally fine to not think about your partner during sex, but I'm talking when your mind veers way off course, when you're way past the point of trying to feel anything remotely or pleasurably. Now, rather than trying to get anywhere near a climax, you're wondering who the hell was able to build Stonehenge when no man could possibly have moved those stones without modern technology. Maybe aliens visited the Earth. That's so cold. You're able to have I'm sorry, go ahead, honey.
No, I'm just saying, if you experienced that, that means that there was no chemistry ahead of time. That didn't just happen there. That was, I would think a situation like that would be like if you're talking to somebody for money. Because if you're in love, you kind of, you know the chemistry ahead of time.
Okay. You're able to have a conversation in the act, and it doesn't involve sex.
Uh-uh.
This goes along with number five, but in some ways a lot worse. Not only have you given up completely on enjoying the act, you've let your partner know you're pretty indifferent by asking him or her, oh, have we run out of milk? Or maybe you're talking about how your new puppy pooped in the shoe this morning. Whatever it is, it's not sexy talk, women. Not sex. Okay, also one, during sex, you start to fall asleep. Oh, God, that is really bad. This may sound completely ridiculous, but I assure you it's possible. If you're not nearly turned on and it's been a long day, which we all work hard these days, the sexual equivalent of paint drying may have you snoring in the midst of the action. Sex has the ability to ignite us in a way that heightens nerves and rejuvenates energy with the release of endorphins. If you're not feeling it, this won't happen, and you may have a momentary snooze instead. Sex is so bad you're falling asleep. Okay, another one, you're not comfortable with that person. Having a sense of trust and comfort with a person is key to any relationship, especially a sexual one. When it comes down to it, your intimacy with that person is making you vulnerable. And if you do not feel you can trust that person, chances are you won't enjoy it as much. Not to mention sex can be downright awkward. And if you do not feel you can tell your partner what you like and what you don't like, there really isn't much of it getting better.
When you hear his voice, or you can't get it, even after you have sex, you still, even after you climax, you still want them. Something wrong if that chemistry not there.
They sprung something experimental on you without asking. We have all have our preferences, and some of our fantasies are a bit more wild than others. There is nothing wrong with letting out your kinky side and trying something new. But when your partner whips out the handcuffs and starts calling you master without any warning or question beforehand, that may lead to a really strange experience if you weren't ready for it. Ooh, you always prefer masturbation to having than to having sex with your partner. Ooh, no one does it better than you, and that will always be the case. But if you're masturbating more than you ever have before, because the sex is leaving a lot to be desired, literally, then something is wrong. You think? While self-love still happens in relationships, and should, and that is completely fine, it shouldn't be your only O-N-L-Y method of pleasure. Okay?
But you could still, my ex made me come like 12 times, and I still had to masturbate sometimes after he finished. He was upset. Sometimes it's just your libido.
Well, sex can be like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get, you know. Well, sex can be toe-curling, transcendent experience in which you swear you saw Narnia. It can also be insanely awkward and borderline uncomfortable. If you're not feeling it, why waste your time? Someone out there will understand you, and they will be the one most worthy to have that sex with you. Okay. Going on. Okay, now, this is where I want us to really get down and start discussing here quick. Number one, he expects you to blow him but won't return the favor. Giving another person pleasure can itself be pleasurable, sure. However, this entirely changes when the person is a douche who only interested in themselves or too lazy or disinterested in you to try to please you too. Comment?
Oh, no. That should have been discussed ahead of time, too. What do you like and what do you not like?
That's true, but you know, some people, it should be discussed. But for the people that don't discuss, that's something when it does happen, they need to talk about it right away. Because, you know, men, they'll want oral sex right away, but not all men are giving to oral sex on a woman for various reasons, you know, whether cleanliness or derange or whatever. But it should work both ways. And like you said, an understanding should be there prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
So when he's holding your head down, bobbing it up and down, you can hold his head down and bob it up and down, right?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. He comes every time. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was laughing.
No. He comes every time you come, none to almost none of the time. He's under the delusional impression sex is all about his orgasm, not yours. Well, they make battery-operated vibrators that are way more satisfying than this dude is like this, than dudes like this. That's another one. You know, he gets his cookie, and he ain't worried about whether you get a cookie or not. That's selfish.
Yeah, but again, you will have inclination of that ahead of time.
Hope so, but you know, we're going to be talking about women that, you know, first time out, they have sex. They don't make it into a friendship and sex later. They go sex and then friendship. If it takes you longer than 5 minutes to orgasm, he says, there must be something wrong with you. There is nothing wrong with you. However, there is definitely something wrong with him for trying to make you feel bad and think you're abnormal or difficult.
Mm.
It's called patience.
Mm-hmm.
Patience, man. Mm-hmm. Sex ends when he comes. Sex ends when both parties are fully satisfied. Thank you. He mistakenly believes sex should be like the porn. He watches these women are sex bots who are automatically turned on by everything a guy does and don't come, but act like facials are the best thing that ever happened to them.
Mm.
Yep. He lies here expecting you to blow him and ride him, but can barely be bothered with foreplay. Again, battery operated devices, ladies. Mm-hmm. He comments when you haven't shaved or waxed all your pubic hair. Yet he has all of his because in his world, girls shave and guys don't. Yes, they do. Guys shave nowadays because they look like a jungle down there. Your discomfort shouldn't be another person's pleasure. If he doesn't want to deal with your bush, you shouldn't have to deal with his. Hello, somebody. But a lot of men do shave, though, now, because they even go to Jean Juarez and places like that. Men get cleaned up down there, too.
Mm.
So one can't talk about the other one. She's right. He doesn't give you a warning before he comes. And then he just comes in your mouth or on your boobs or in your eye. And now if you ejaculated an inside, he'd have a huge freaking cow about it.
Mm.
Not that he'd ever be able to make you do that, but still.
Mm-hmm.
I wish a man would come in my face. I'd beat the shit out of him. No, you ain't putting that shit in my face, in my titties, my eyes, none of that. You done got me confused with somebody that gives a damn and likes that. That's just not me. He tries to get you to do it without a condom. No effing way. If he tries to push you into this, who knows what else he'll try to push you into. He refuses to spend the night with you because he's so commitment phobic that even if you just want him around so you can make a regular hookup, the idea of spending more than 3 hours with you, sleeping or awake, terrifies his ass. Whiskey dick, and it's a frequent problem even on the weekends. I don't know. I've never had whiskey dick, so I can't tell you.
What is whiskey dick?
I don't know. It says it's more frequent. It's a frequent problem even on the weekends. I guess, you know, you take somebody home that's drunk or something or high. I don't know.
Yeah,
I've never had that.
Yeah, heard
maybe
some,
it's a white thing.
I think alcohol. Yeah, I think so. But I think alcohol makes some men either last longer or something. So I know before my ex said that he wanted to drink. Like, I didn't. The penis was the same.
But I'm assuming that he felt like he went longer with the beer. So that's what I'm saying.
Okay. He assumes you're in the mood every time he's in the mood. And when you're in the mood and text him, he's watching Batman on his couch and can't be bothered to make plans with you. Yeah, that's a problem. That's a problem. He never asks you about your day or even your life generally. He has no interest in learning anything about you beyond what you look like naked. Hear us, ladies. Hear us out there. There's things for you to think about. You have the distinct feeling he hasn't washed his sheets since the royal baby was born. He's told you he has poop sheets because they hide stains well. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, before sex, if you walk into the guy's house and it's dirty, same with the woman, either way, turn around and walk right back out. You don't need to see nothing else because that tells you how clean that individual is.
Again, you'd have had inclination by the way they dress and their car. Because if somebody's kind of meticulous, then they will be that way. They will have other characteristics of that ahead of time, too.
Yeah, but, you know, some people confront, too, Tina. They can look like 20, driving a bad Corvette, you know, got a good job or whatever, and you go to their house and it's like nightmare on your street. Like, what happened? You know, were you sick? Did you have a stroke? What? You know? Okay. He says anything even remotely condescending to you. Why is your hair in a ponytail? Cool underwear? Is it laundry day? Is that time of the month or something? Yeah. Know when to talk and know when to shut up.
Absolutely.
If you want some booty. He says anything even remotely condescending to you. Okay, he has no idea where your clitoris is and no desire to find it. You could have more signs pointing to it than the Tribora Bridge, and he'll still ignore all of them. Ladies, you need to tell him. If you want to stop before he finishes, he expects you to blow him. And he doesn't give a crap that his penis tastes like condom and your vagina feels uncomfortable. You just want to go to sleep in your own bed now. He keeps asking you for anal, a threesome, period sex, other sex act you're not interested in after you said no multiple times. Not only is he impervious to listening, but it also seems pretty clear that he views you less as a human woman than a collection of orifices he can put his penis inside. Okay. He never once cuddled with you. He sleeps with a body pillow to make extra sure he has something to place between him and even the idea of emotional intimacy. He'd sooner wash his filthy sheets than pay you a compliment. He never tells you you look pretty or congratulations or you're killing that project, babe. You're really working on it or anything. And still, he expects you to love blowing him.
Okay,
problem. So those. Yeah, go ahead, honey.
No, I was just saying, oh, no, that's a problem.
Yes, yes. Yes. So what did you have? I think I had some more for the toxics, I guess, before we start whatchamacallit. Oh, yeah, here's some more toxic. Wait, let me do this right quick. Okay, controlling relationship. How do you feel about that?
Oh, no. Something's wrong if they're controlling.
Yeah. If you're in a relationship where your partner behaves like the approver, where everything you do has to pass through their scrutiny, you're definitely in the middle of a toxic romance, and the sex ain't going to work out. Jealous partners. That's another toxin. They're jealous, you know. You can enjoy this guy sexually, but God, just because you may look a certain way left or right, you're going to get jealous? You know. Is your partner over jealousy when it comes to you spending time with your friends? Or do they constantly feel like you're sharing a certain sexual chemistry with someone, even if you have a happy laugh while chattering over the phone. A bit of jealousy can be cute, but when it affects your life, it's definitely not good for you. Bitchy lovers. Does your lover sit down with you and constantly nag about their bad days or whine about their problems until you feel like crawling under the couch or running away from them? Partners who find happiness only while complaining about their life can turn you into a negative person. Negative thinking partner. That's true. A negative thinking partner, that kind of answers itself. A person that puts you down all the time. You don't want to have sex with that person.
Mm-mm.
Put you down. Perhaps they have issues in life that they just need to, feeling powerful by putting you down all the time. But they got something that they need to deal with. A cheating partner.
Mm-hmm.
Have you caught your partner cheating on you once? And then again, some partners just can't stay committed to one relationship. And there's nothing you can do about it. If a partner doesn't respect you or think you're important enough, they're bound to cheat on you constantly. A lying lover. Some lovers just can't help but lie all the time, worse than carpet. You may know they're lying, but you can't prove it, can you? When you're in a toxic relationship like this, you end up feeling more insecure and frustrated, even feel paranoid about the whole relationship while your partner laughs and lies away all the time. An abusive partner. Can you have sex with an abusive partner? Well, some women have. Think about women that are married and it's domestic violence. That's abusive. So you got to stay away from a toxic relationship like that for sex. Okay, we're at the half hour. My God, we got to start talking about something good. Okay, what can we speak about good in a relationship? We've covered a lot of the rant.
When you love yourself and when you're balanced, you attract your mate because your mate is your mirror. People have to do the work. On a good note, you see what happened with Tierra and Russell Wilson. They decided to practice celibacy after having experiences with Russell's wife cheated with a teammate, and then Sierra was involved with someone that had multiple children with multiple women and was disrespectful, still involved with one of the children's mother and had another child with her. I think the other mother's pregnant. So she left that toxic relationship, and it just goes to show, she said, listen, I'm just going to get myself together. I'm going to wait. She said, bump sexual chemistry, bump this. I'm not going to try to, you're a millionaire, I'm a millionaire. She said, we're going to wait, and we're going to do this the right way. And they worked through their issues with the family and the fighting and, the other parent existing. And now I'm quite sure that a majority of those things that you discussed, I'm probably sure they discussed it. You know, that came up. I'm quite sure it came up. And that's how you have friendship and chemistry, because my mother used to tell me the only thing that happened fast is trouble. So that's how those things could come up. You could be lonely. You could be with the toxic things when you don't know who you are. Then sometimes you can, make unwise choices. And in life, they say insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. One thing about life is going to teach you a lesson until you learn it. So it's going to show up in different teachers. So in this day and time, we can't have multiple sex partners like this because there's diseases. There are diseases waiting to meet people. First off, from a spiritual point of view, you okay?
Yeah, go ahead, honey.
Yeah, from a spiritual point of view, you have sexual soul ties. That's once you have sex with a person, you might not like them. And even if the sex is good, that's why people stay in those abusive relationships, because it's more of an emotional and spiritual connection. They don't understand why, but that's why God said that we should wait. So I just know when you wait and take your time to get to know the person, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
True. Well, getting what you want in bed, even long-term couples that have been together for years and years and years can struggle in the bedroom. Though we can easily tell our partner what shirt we'd like for him to wear or how we'd like to cook dinner or whatever for him, we tend to get tongue-tied when it comes to the topic of sex, which Tina's saying, you need to discuss this beforehand. People tend to be very sensitive when it comes to talking about sex. They're afraid of hurting their partner's feelings, so they don't tell them what they like or don't like. But you're not going to get it unless you ask for it. Like Tina said, you got to have a communication. So how do you tell your partner what you want without bruising his or her ego? Excuse me. I think it's really in how you bring up the statement.
Yeah.
I would love it if we or could we try this. You don't want to make them feel bad about what they've done or haven't done. You can have the conversation whenever and wherever is most comfortable for you, but before you talk, you need to know exactly what it is about your sex life that bothers you. Is it a question of technique, personal hygiene, timing? Once you know what isn't working for you, there are things you can suggest that can mitigate those circumstances. For example, if something about your partner's smell is turning you off, suggest taking a bath together before making love. If you crave foreplay, more foreplay, ask for segues into sex. Okay, before you can tell a partner what you want him or her to do in the bed, you need to know what you like. I think especially for women, they've got to explore their own bodies. You have to masturbate, get a vibrator, get some books, teach yourself how to orgasm. When it is not working, after you try talking and sex still isn't working, then what? Experiment together. Learn to get to know each other's bodies. Try some sex aids. Read books. Watch an educational video. And I don't mean the porn and all that bull, but videos that are educational with a voiceover explains what's happening in the scene. Tina.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when it is just not working, sometimes the problem is a physical one, such as premature ejaculation, or maybe that stress from your job is bleeding over into the bedroom and disrupting your sex life. In those cases, it can help to see a therapist or something and see if they can try to remedy that. If you're still unsatisfied, is it ever okay to fake it in bed? Well, if you're faking it, you're doing yourself a disservice because you're not learning what really turns you on. I think eventually, it takes a toll. Your partner's going to realize that you're disconnected. Can sex ever be bad enough to consider ending a relationship over? Possibly. You might really love somebody, and the sex is never going to be better than it is now. You have to decide whether you can live with that or not. Whatever you're considering, a breakup or a divorce, you need to weigh every element of the relationship, not just the sex. You can't have everything in life, y'all. If you have a wonderful relationship and you love each other and you have kids, but the sex isn't great, maybe you can live with that. You know?
Okay. I was going to say that. You could be in love with someone. I really cared for the one with the little penis because he was sexy. He's a businessman. He's spiritual. That's what I'm saying. Sometimes just the cuddling, you could cuddle and just them knowing that they love you, you can live with it. It's not all about sex.
No. So so we're on the rave part, the good part about sex. Understanding. Most of all, and communication is number one. You got to communicate for the person to know. Even if they're bad, they probably don't know they're bad because no one has had a conversation with them. You know, like I said earlier, you know, some people don't want to say anything, Tina, because they don't want to hurt their partner's feelings. But if you're going to be in a relationship with a man, you need to let him know, and he needs to let you know. You know, don't have you bouncing all around and everything and he looking at you like you 2 weeks from Sunday. I mean, come on. I don't want nightmare on my street. I want heaven. I want it to be beautiful. But those are some things. Boy, what was I going to say, too, about sex? Well, you can tell your example, because remember, you got an example.
Absolutely. But I wanted us to break down the because we were supposed to break down the different types of love too. Agape, storge, eros.
Yes. But you know what? We're going to talk about those different loves next week.
Okay.
Yeah, the show will be about love, understanding love, because I told you, you made a very good statement when you said nobody teaches us love.
Yeah, nobody teaches us how to love, you know. We have to learn on our own. We learn, it's like a nonverbal class that we learn in seeing our parents interact. And I've noticed that sometimes some parents, you know, some people say, oh, don't do that in front of the children. But it's okay if your parents are loving and affectionate in front of each other. It's okay for you to learn that, you know. People are just, they have weird ways of showing things. And then in turn, if they're squeamish or standoffish, and then the children end up standoffish and squeamish, and that can affect people in relationships. I had a girlfriend, and she's dating this guy, and he's going through some different things, and she's really not affectionate to him. So she said, the guy said, you're being mean to him. I said, you are. You're taking out your past hurts from another relationship on somebody that's new. Be free. Why are you even talking to them then if you don't? Because that's what relationship's about. No matter how long it takes, no matter, you know, how we run around about it, run around the situation, that's what they really want. It's a form of intimacy. But a real woman knows that intimacy is not just sex. You should be confident enough to know that they can enjoy your conversation. They can enjoy you being around them, you helping them with business ideas, you teaching them about spirituality, you praying with them. That's a form of intimacy. You have some people that will have sex with people and won't pray with them. So that's a little backwards. You have it to where sometimes you could be intimate with your partner, and then you can't talk to them about anything. You talk more to your girlfriends than you do to them. That's a problem too.
Yes. Yes. Because you should go to the root of the source.
Mm-hmm.
Which is him, and talk to him. He's the one that's going to change it, not your girlfriend. Your girlfriend can advise and consent, which that's fine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She can advise and consent, but when it gets down to the bottom line, you need to talk to that man. I feel that way,
yeah.
Tina. Like when, oh, go ahead, honey.
No, I'm just saying there's an art of communication. When you talk to a man and know how to talk to him, you can get him to tell you anything. And some women lack that, and then they have to use sex. No, I have friends that are in love with me, and I've never had sex with them, never, and
me
I don't
too.
Intend to.
Me too.
I don't intend to. You know, and again, like we were saying, sometimes those things, by not talking, it costs you your time, and that person can manifest certain emotions, or they bring to life what's inside of you. So love should be peaceful, but, you know, you live and you learn. No one's perfect. Now, what did you want me to give an example of? You said you wanted me to give an example of something.
Oh, you already did, but I wanted you to talk about, what about women that are desperate and they use sex to get a man?
Well, that boils down, I believe that's spiritual. Sometimes something happened in their life where they didn't get enough affection. Their father or a male figure didn't teach them how to interact with a man. Bishop Jake said that some women have never had a conversation with a man from their father or male figure, and he said they desire that. And he said some women will go as far as to have sex just to get the man to talk to them. So when if a person is moving fast like that, It boils down to what is going on inside of a person at that time, because it's like men will lie. Some men will lie, and some men use love for sex, but then some women use sex for love. They say, well, let me have sex with him, and he's going to love me. But we don't understand that men are wired differently than women. Men are hunters by nature, so, you know, they get something out of you being worthy. You know, you say, hey, well, if she's taking her time with me, I know she's taking time with somebody else if she's telling me no. And a man, okay, I'm not going to say, if you're in a relationship and if you're dating someone, you know, the first 3 months or whatever, if that man is highly sexual, I'm not going to say that he's not sleeping with someone else, but he will develop emotions for you because he's, you know, saying, hey, I'm getting to know her, she's taking her time. Now, they may, since you both are still single, they do have a right to go and gratify themselves somewhere else, and they may not tell you, but the dangerous part is the diseases, because you're still spiritually connected to whomever else he's connected with, and that's not really fair to be having two different relationships at the same time. But, you know, people do it. But I do believe, I believe wholeheartedly that when you get a spiritual resolve and you make up in your mind that you want only the best, I do believe that you will attract the best. I do believe that. It's just a principle. But I do believe that we manifest whatever is going on at that time. So when if we've had a dysfunctional relationship or things going wrong, it just manifested what was going on inside of us.
Okay, now what about, this is a very important one. I waited to bring this one up last. What about women that have been assaulted or raped? How do they come back into the sexual understanding?
Well, I think that has to have a spiritual solution. Because psychologically, that could be even from a child that was molested, you know, from 5, 6 years old. Their perception of sex has been tainted. It could be riddled with guilt, an older person violating them. I do know that some strippers have, you know, they say that women that are kind of promiscuous or in things like that, it's been misconstrued because sometimes they really don't want to do that. You know, something is a little wrong if you could just go get naked in front of a whole bunch of men. And, you know, that should be reserved in your home. Now, if you are the highest freak or whatever, that's between you and whomever you're dealing with. But it shouldn't be on display. And I do believe that that's why God commanded us to pray. I don't care what religion you are. You do have to have a connection with your higher power, and it's like charging your phone no matter what. We have to charge our phones every day. And it's like if we don't get an understanding of what happened, you know, children don't know why they've been molested or women have been in situations where they've been raped. That's not their fault. But the thing comes up to where it has to be a mental strength, because if not, that could knock them down for the rest of their lives, and then they won't really be able to function. So it comes to that person, them seeking help and the conversation that they're having within themselves. You have some women who have been raped and molested, and they say, I'm never going to have sex again. You know, they go a whole different route.
Or they could turn to lesbians, or a guy could turn to a homosexual, because boys get raped too. But, I mean, you know, it can turn the other way, where they could not even deal with a man or a woman anymore. You know, they'll just stay with their own sex.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So, just for the most part, I would say that there's a spiritual solution. Even Wayne Dyer has a book, and it's called There's a Spiritual Solution for Every Problem. So I just believe in life you get what you strive for. So if the person, because it's an individual choice, they have to get the healing. They have to seek. They have to talk. They have to choose to forgive that person and to not let it weigh them down, because if they don't, it will affect them for the rest of their lives. And the thing is that even with the law of attraction, what you think about, you bring about. So if they think that all men are wrong, and if they think that all men are going to abuse them, then the universe is going to honor that, and they are going to keep having situations that do that. And then they're like, you know, and that's why some prostitutes and the women that are, you know, like the strippers, they end up like on drugs and stuff because they never healed it. And I remembered hearing somewhere years ago that when a person is on drugs, they said that they keep having that same vision every day when they get up. So they have to go get the drugs to pacify their mind. But my mother always taught me about mental strength. And some things are just not worth pondering on. You can't let certain things just live in your mind rent-free. You have to take authority over your mind. You have to. And another thing, sometimes you went through that to help somebody else. You know, life isn't all bad. Even millionaires and the people that are the strongest, they know how to bounce back from stuff. You just have to bounce back from it. If you have a pity party, then you're not going to be able to enjoy life. You're just going to waste. I saw something on Instagram the other day, and they said, I refuse to live the same day over and over again for 90 years. I refuse to live the same year. It said, I refuse to live the same year over 90 times. So that's why it even says in the Bible that he who is in the council, he who has good counsel will, like, you will prosper, because you have to have the right people around you. Some of the strongest people have been through the worst things, but they're too busy to cry. They're too busy to deal with it. Like, okay, it happened, but that's not going to hold
stop
me down.
Yeah.
And depression is pressure pushed back on the inside. And sometimes depression comes from selfishness, because they're just thinking about themselves. It's like with Bobby Christina. her mom was a beautiful soul. I mean, she was a privileged child, and it was very understandable that she missed her mom. But she had $125 million. She could have felt the same love as her mother because, you know, the world loved her. She could have set up a nonprofit organization. She could have gone around giving out scholarships. There were so many things that she could have done, and she cared less about that money. She was like, my mother is gone and was gone, not long after it. So it's about your mind. It's about the mental strength. Yeah, people be thinking, oh, when I get money, I'm going to do this, or if I have this. No, the richest person is the person that can control their mind and that is happy. You should just be happy and join your own company, with or without a mate. And that's what I'm saying. When you're happy, you will attract happy people and happy experiences and happy moments.
I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you don't even know who rich people are because they don't flaunt it. They don't show it.
Mm-mm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the first love, they say when you get your relationship with God right, they say when you get your horizontal relationship right, all your vertical relationships will be in order.
All right, then. All right, I'm glad that you brought God in. I'm sorry I didn't have time. I was going to look up some scriptures about sex in the Bible. But I did have outcome. Every couple has the potential to have good sex if they're willing to put a little effort into it. If you're two emotionally and physically healthy people, you should be able to work with what you got. Not everybody needs to be hanging out the chandelier. You can get better, but you have to practice and you have to be open to discussing it. Communicate, people. Also, in getting help if you need it, like Tina said, sometimes you might need to sit down and talk to a minister or talk to a counselor or a therapist. But the two of you together should be able to iron it out. And if it's not a couple, if it's single people, single man or single woman, think about yourself. What do you want for you? Then that's what you should want for the next person.
Mm.
I saw a line the other day. I thought it was so beautiful for single people, when the woman, she put a post up there that says, be with the man that prays for you.
Mm.
Or thanks God for you. Thanks God for you and prays for you. And I thought that was so beautiful, and that's true. I was like, I can believe men, they're thankful for their girlfriends or their wives or what have you. But how many of those men actually pray to God and thank him for you because of you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that really touched me. I thought that was really neat. But you got to be open to discussion and communicate. And I'm going to tell you right now, before you have sex, rant or rave, be a friend with that person. Even if you don't have sex, like she said, cuddling, just being together. But, you know, if you enjoy having sex and got a strong nature, be that person's friend first. Get to know who they are. Because it may be that that's not the person you want to be involved with sexually or mentally or spiritually. So you should get to know them, because when you know them, like tonight, and go out and have sex, and you may or may not see that person come Monday morning.
Whereas
to the person, like, well, give me a call. You know, let's get together and have lunch or something, sit down and chit-chat. I bet the man will return to her quicker than he will to the one he just had sex with he met that night. So it's something to, something to think about on the rant and on the rave. Just be careful. You know about condoms. You know about birth protection. You know to keep your cootie-coo or punani, whatever you want to call it, keep it clean. And that was well for the man, too. Keep your penis and your balls clean. Don't nobody want to go down there and have to use tissues, blow their nose. So come on. Pick out lint. Yeah. What else did you want to say, Tina? We're coming to the close of the show, so come on, girl. Bring that gospel and that comical.
No, just, we wish that everyone, thank you for spending time with us today. We pray that you found humor and what we were saying. We were truthful with you, but I just pray that everyone has successful relationships, but the first relationship should be with God and with yourself. And once you do that, the sky is the limit. I pray that you have the gift of being vulnerable. There's no need to have walls up and what about this and what about that, throw that to the wind. I think that you should pray for your me. And as Linus was saying, even Ayala Van Zandt has a book called In the Meantime. I read that book years ago, and she said she said that in the meantime, basically get yourself together because your me is praying for you. And when you get in order, you guys will connect at the divine time. You have to know that it's going to be all right. And just work on you. Surround yourself with beautiful people. Have morals. I pray that everyone is safe, that no one has any type of debilitating diseases, and that you can ask questions. You can say hi, that is something that should be brought up, before I'm really, well, I guess people are going to have casual sex and they're not going to do this, but for those of you that are serious about your life and you want to live long, you have to say, well, hey, when is the last time you took an HIV test? And do you mind if we take our time, before we connect? I want to make sure that you're okay, because even when you take the test, the results can still take some time to show up. So you still have to think that's just not the okay to say, hey, let me throw my drawers to the, in the garage, let's go. So, we just pray that people have great sexual relationships, because in case people don't notice, even when a person becomes pregnant, every thought that goes into the child sets the tone for that child's life. And we wonder why we have so many murderers and killers. It's because of what was going on at that time, or if the mother was hateful during the pregnancy because the man didn't want to be with her.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to think about all of those things that are going on. We didn't create ourselves, so there are laws that govern that. So I just pray that, the live listeners and whomever listens to this in the archive will be better people, have better relationships, and enjoy this life. And again, your relationships are a form of ministry. As they grow and grow into marriage, you'll be ministering to other people and ministering to your family and just sending love. So that is my wish for everyone, just to enjoy themselves, to learn. And as we've taught, then you go and teach, because sometimes some parents don't teach their children about relationships.
No, go ahead, honey.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and that's what our show is going to be about next week, not relationships, but love. What is love? So you kind of segue into that, because relationships, rant and rave next week will be, what is your relationship with love? Do you understand love? Not do you know what love is. Do you understand what love is? So we'll definitely be talking about that next week. And we're going to bring some scriptures on that, too. Because that's one thing, God is love. God is. So, we're not going to do no real religious program, but we're going to bring God in the mix so that people understand love and the moral justice and injustice about love.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed. Let me see what else. I guess that's about it. I thank you, Tina. We had a good show today because we covered some really good subject matter that I know people, and we might have even missed a few, but I hope that we inform people on the different ways of toxic sex and ways to have good sex. And, Tina talked about God. I'm gonna say this. For folks that are just meeting each other and you're hoping that maybe it might be a relationship, before you two have sex, have a couple of dates as friends and then pray about it. It ain't going to hurt. Pray about it. If this is to be, if it's meant for you and that other person to be together forever and a day, as they say, LTR, long-term relationship, after the second date, pray about you too and see. See what answers you get back. You might be really impressed and know maybe it's not or maybe it's a go. Okay, but just remember, if you can look up, you can get up. So, anyway,
well, have the confidence to pray specifically ahead of time. I need him to be this height. Have the confidence and ask for it. Put your order into the universe.
There you go. Like you at the restaurant. Look here, angels.
Yes.
I know that's true.
Yes, if you need him well endowed, be specific. Please let him be spiritual and well endowed. Ask for it.
I know that's right. Why do
we
do readings and people be saying, is he blessed? Like, oh my God, is that all you care about?
Yes, don't nobody need no little pickle peppers. We don't need that.
Or kibbles and bits and tickle, thank you.
Mm-mm. No sausages. You can keep that.
we're shallow. You got to come with it. So tickle, tickle, and kibbles and bits don't do it. And I am a nice enough person, I will let you know, in a PC way. This ain't it. Okay. Well, Tina, give your love thing, and we're going to call it a day, girlfriend.
Yes, have a great day, everyone. Thank you for joining, and we pray that today is the first day of the best day of the rest of your lives.
And if no one's told you,
today,
we do.
Yes, we do. Thank you, Tina. We love y'all.
Thank you. We love you.
Thank you.